The Gilroy Rotary invited the two candidates for California Assembly District 30 to attend their August 28, 2018 meeting. Democrat Robert Rivas and Republican Neil Kitchens answered various questions presented to them by the Rotary. Marty Cheek, the publisher of Gilroy Life and Morgan Hill Life newspapers, also attended and recorded the candidates' remarks. The following audio takes half an hour.
At this time, we would like the candidates to come up and take a seat right here. Mr. Kitchens, there. The microphone is in the middle. We will be giving the candidate, the first candidate, the microphone, and then we will pass the microphone back and forth. Our program today is established to be informative. We don't make any judgments or any endorsements at this Rotary meeting. We just want everybody in Rotary to have the opportunity to know who your candidates are and to make wise voting decisions. Our program today has two candidates for Assembly District Number 30, Robert Rivas and Neil Kitchens. Thank you both for being here and for running for positions. We know it's a special calling for people like that, and we appreciate that you have run for office. Our program is going to be timed. Where's our timer? Wendy, did we get a timer?
No,
we
don't have to do it.
Okay, so 2 minutes. So Wendy will be your signal right over here, and she will hold up a white card when you, after 1 minute, and then you will get a, fold that flyer up. Flyer, that'll be your time's out card. You have to stop talking at that point. And if you don't see that, don't worry, I'll remind you to stop talking.
That's what I'm saying.
We'll hear from each of you with an opening statement, 2 minutes long. Then we will have questions for you, and I will give you the question. Each of you will get it, and you will have 2 minutes to respond to each question. And then we will have closing statements from each of you. Our questions are prepared. We will not be taking any questions from the audience today. And so we are ready to start. And let's see. Mr. Kitchens, will you take the microphone? You can do your two-minute statement first, and then pass the microphone to Mr. Rivas. So, when you speak, the timer starts.
Hello, everybody. My name is Neil Kitchens. I moved here from Arkansas 32 years ago, started my business running mental health facilities. I quickly became successful because there was a big need. Y'all might remember the Ronald Reagan closed down all the state hospitals back in the late 80s. And so I saw an opportunity and took it and became pretty successful doing that. Later, I played semi-pro football right up the street from the San Jose Wildcats. Right after that, I went to Monterey College of Law, got my law degree. Later, I transitioned my mental health facilities into low-income, middle-income, triple-net leases. I own timberland in Arkansas and Georgia. So my background is in business, and like I said, I have a law degree. I've been here at AD 30 for 32 years, so way more than half my life. And the reason I'm running is because I've been thinking about it for a while. And I just can't sit back and watch our state go down the tubes and do nothing about it. Being situated the way I am now, you guys know it's District 30 is, you know, we have the highest rate of poverty in the entire country. We're almost dead last in education. We have the highest rate of homelessness in the nation. So 25% of the homeless population in the whole country live right here in California. I have watched that happen over a period of time, and my beautiful fiance there just told me either shut up or get involved. And so I decided to get involved because
Thank you, Mr. Kitchens.
Wait, just so I clarify.
We'll hear from Mr. Rivas now. Pass the mic, please. Thank you. And Mr. Rivas, you have 2 minutes.
Oh, my God. Luckily, apologize for that speech, of course. It's great to be here with all of you. My name is Robert Rivas. I am a county supervisor. I'm an educator at Gavilan College, and I'm a student support manager at Samuel High School. I work at Samuel High School. I also graduated from there, so I'm a proud Hay-Baler. But I hope none of you will hold that against me. But I'm a lifelong resident of this region. I grew up in San Diego County. I was raised by a family of loving farm workers who taught me to never abandon my roots and to absolutely never forget where I came from. Having been raised by a single parent, my mother, it was my grandfather who always encouraged me and who never let me forget that anything was possible. And so he helped me understand the value of hard work. And he always reminded me that with hard work, that I'd have opportunities that he never had, that my family never had, such as the opportunity to go to college. I'm proud I put myself through, undergraduate, and I got my master's in public administration. The opportunity to have a good-paying job. I understand the value of hard work because of my grandfather. And heck, as I mentioned, I have 3 jobs to make ends meet. And at the end of every single day, when I'm bone tired, I am thankful for these experiences because, one, as my wife won't let me forget about it, provides for my family. And two, these experiences have made me a better public servant. And so certainly about a year ago, I made the decision to run for assembly. And my campaign has always been about creating opportunity for others and about representing people, about going to Sacramento and fighting for the issues important to this region, which is considered rural California, and to solve problems, which I've done as a supervisor in San Diego County, working for 8 years. With 4 other people. Going to Sacramento and tackling our housing crisis, rebuilding our roads and infrastructure, and what's really important to me, prioritizing education in this state. As Neil said, we usually rank dead last. And for the 5th largest economy in the world, it doesn't make sense. And so our students need to have access to the very best schools. So thank you for the invitation.
Thank you. We will have you keep the microphone now because you're going to receive the question first. Mr. Kitchens, you'll receive the same question. It's just that we'll give it to Mr. Rivas first. So here's the first question. Many local communities struggle with economic development. What can you do at the state level to support and increase economic development within our district? You have 2 minutes.
Certainly we need to do more. As a county supervisor from a rural county in San Diego, I understand the challenges. And when I look at the problems we have in San Diego, and really the problems we see in rural California, they're magnified 10 times over. And I say that because the one thing that every community has in common in the Assembly District 30, whether it's San Benito, the South Valley here, and Morganville, and Gilroy, and Watsonville, and Salinas, is our communities take a back seat legislatively in Sacramento. And when you talk about the, every 2 years, you have elections in San Diego with members of the Board of Supervisors. And the message is always the same. We're going to create jobs. We're going to fix our roads. It's very difficult to do that if you don't have infrastructure to support those high-paying jobs and those good-paying jobs, such as roads, such as having access to high-speed internet. And so certainly doing more for rural California is at the top of my list because we can't thrive locally if we don't have the support in Sacramento. And so I look forward to working with other rural legislators in the state to bring attention to these problems. And I'm really, experience, actions speak louder than words. And, some of the most valuable experience I have as a county supervisor. I'm the only Democrat on the Board of Supervisors in San Diego County. I have the support of all my Republican colleagues because it's about results. It's about working together, collaborating to solve problems. And certainly, we lack that in Sacramento. As I mentioned, I have 3 jobs. And when I look at Sacramento, I see a legislature that is dramatically out of touch with the needs for our communities, especially when it comes to rural California. So we can't expect to improve our local economies if we don't support the infrastructure improvements that our communities dramatically need.
Thank you, Mr. Rivas. Pass the microphone now. Mr. Kitchens, you have 2 minutes. Do you want me to repeat the question?
Yes, please.
Okay. Many local communities struggle with economic development. What can you do at the state level to support and increase economic development within our district?
Well, the answer is easy. Folks, we are the highest taxed nation in the entire country. We are also the highest regulated state in the entire country. And I'll just give you one example. SB1, the gas tax, okay? That is killing jobs. That is killing economic development. You have truck drivers that are barely hanging on now because just think about a 200-gallon diesel truck. It's about $120 per fill-up now. More extra on top of that. Regulations are out of control. When I first started running mental health facilities, the regulation book was about this thick. Now it's so big it can fill this whole room. Okay? So what I would do to answer your question specifically, I would immediately start reducing taxes, starting with SB1. Okay? And remember, SB1 is supposed to fix the roads, but we had measure 69 on the ballot just to make them do what they said they were going to do. So they're not going to fix the roads. And I want SB1 repealed, so yes on 6. That right away will give us some relief because all these employers are raising their costs. Just go to a coffee shop. Look at everything's going up because diesel fuel delivers school supplies, clothing, food to all these places, and then they have to pass the costs on to us. Regulations, EIR reports, all that stuff. That's killing jobs. That's killing economic development. And until we get a hold of that, we're going to keep going right down the tubes. You almost have to be a millionaire to be in the middle class here in California now. People are leaving the state in droves. And you know what they're taking with them? Jobs. 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 People are reincorporating in states like Nevada. And
thank you, Mr. Kitchens. You can keep the microphone now because we're going to go on to question number 2. You'll get the first response on this question. Budget priorities are key to planning and implementation for the state. Please provide your budgetary recommendations for this district by sharing your top 3 priorities for the next 4 years.
My top 3 priorities are housing, infrastructure, and crime. Picking up on the previous question about economic development, builders will not build in this area if you keep taxing them and regulating. They just won't do it. It's something like $300,000 per unit now just to build a multifamily housing when they can go next door to, I mean, folks, Arizona's got 5 million people in it now. You know, that used to be a really smallly populated state, but people are moving next door. Builders are moving next door. So, crime. I'm a criminologist. I ran a forensic program for 23 years, taking mentally ill offenders out of prisons and jails, keeping them from reoffending. But we've lost all our funding. So that's why crime is out of control. Also with crime, we have Prop 47, if y'all are familiar with that, where any low level, what they say is low level, like a theft, even a strong arm robbery is a crime. Prop 57, they're letting child molesters and rapists out of prison early. Okay, and that's also creating more homelessness because people won't hire a child molester or rapist, and so they end up on the streets. So housing, crime, infrastructure, I built infrastructure. We've only outsourced 10% of our infrastructure. We need to outsource more than 10% of our infrastructure. Give it to Granite Rock, Granite, Caltrans. I'm sorry, they're nice folks. They don't get it done, and I know that from personal experience. I drove a belly dump truck for 2 years building the roads, hauling asphalt. Caltrans, I'm sorry, nice people, but Granite Rock and Granite Construction, companies like that, they don't have the taxpayer, to back them up. They got to make a profit. Caltrans waste, fraud, and abuse more than they even use. And don't be fooled, folks, by these SB1 signs.
Please pass the microphone to Mr. Rivas, who will now do his comments. Would you like me to read the question again? Okay.
So, obviously, this is a loaded question. It's going any which way when you talk about budget. But I would think for this district, understanding this district as a lifelong resident here, number one would be transportation, because all of these are really interconnected. Transportation as far as infrastructure, transportation services. You know, my mom's commute from Hollister San Juan Elementary School has more than tripled in the last 3 years. We have congestion. It's a problem, aside from crumbling roads. And so, you know, when we're in San Benito, and I have to go to San Jose, I have no choice but to get in my car. We lack mass transit options in the rural parts of the state. Agriculture. It's the backbone. It's the economy of this district and this region is our agriculture. 40% of all freight in this country comes through California, and our agriculture and our agricultural businesses depend on it. So making sure that we are preparing for, obviously we're having extended drought seasons, impacts of climate change, and so water storage. You know, the Salinas Valley, which is salable the world, they produce so much food for the world and for our country and for our region, that they're so dependent on groundwater, water storage is critical. And so we've passed the bonds, and now we've got to expedite these projects. And the third is education. I work in education. My mom's been in the classroom for 30 years. As the fifth largest economy in the world, it makes no sense that our schools typically rank at the bottom. And investing not only in classrooms, but in preventative services, making sure that students have access to mental health. I work in discipline, and I work on truancy issues. I can't expect a truant student to threaten them that their parents are going to go to court because they're not coming to school, expect them to all of a sudden show up to school and be successful. These students have undergone traumatic events in their lives, possibly broken homes most of the time. And so making sure that they have resources outside the classroom to get them to be successful in the classroom is an extremely important concept to make sure that we close this achievement gap as a state. Thank you. Okay.
And you can keep the microphone because you'll get our third question first. The question is, our district businesses rely heavily on immigrant workforce. Please speak to the actions you will take to assure businesses that they will be able to continue operating as immigration reform develops in California.
Right, and so this is an issue that is close to home for me. I come from an immigrant family. My mom immigrated to California, and my grandparents, they came here in search of a better life, and they worked hard. My grandfather was a field worker for over 40 years in his life. My grandmother and great-grandmother were cannery workers at San Diego Foods in downtown Hollister. They worked hard, and they encouraged their children, my mom and her sisters, to go to college, have opportunities, and to get back to their community. My mom and her three sisters all became educators, very good educators. My mom and her sister, Ms. Vallejo, they've been recognized as County Educators of the Year in San Diego County. That is what America is about. That's what this country is about. My grandparents and mom, they became citizens here. There was a pathway. They followed it. They've never missed an election. And my grandfather always taught my brother and I the importance of voting and of participating in our democracy. And so immigration is a federal issue. But I assure you, as your representative, that I'm always going to fight for common sense immigration reform and a pathway for citizenship, because our businesses and our state economy depend on it. I just said that agriculture is the backbone of this local economy. And my colleague on the Board of Supervisors, Anthony Patelos, he produces apples. Half of this crop went to waste because he can't find the labor to get those apples to market. This is a problem for our economy, especially with this whole debate raging about marijuana that's siphoning away a lot of this labor, this agricultural labor. This has become a huge issue. So we certainly need to put a lot of pressure on the federal government to fix immigration. We need comprehensive immigration reform because it's the right thing to do and because our economy depends on it.
And now, Mr. Kitchens, we'll hear from you on that topic. Do you want me to read the question again?
Please.
Okay. Our district businesses rely heavily on the immigrant workforce. Please speak to the actions you will take to assure businesses that they will be able to continue operating as immigration reform develops in California.
Well, first of all, I spent 4 years in law school. And as Supervisor Rivas said, immigration is exclusive to the federal government. So there's been a lot of confusion about that in the last several years about who actually has jurisdiction over immigration. it's completely a federal issue. And, you know, we're not running for Congress, we're running for state assembly. However, California has more immigrants than any other state, by far. Right now, folks, we have two systems of immigration. We have illegal or undocumented, whatever word, you know, you choose to use, and legal immigration, where people actually go through the proper processes and do it legally. As a state assemblyman, I, like Supervisor Rivas said, I would encourage Congress to do something about it. They've got to fix this. When I first moved here in 1986, you couldn't buy a package of tortillas without a handbill in it saying amnesty, and that was Ronald Reagan, by the way. So we do need a pathway to citizenship, but we've got to figure out how we're going to do it, and that really is to Congress. It's not up to the state. Remember United States versus Arizona when the Obama administration sued Arizona? Well, now we're having the same thing in reverse. The Trump administration is suing the state of California just for exactly the opposite reasons. So we really need to separate our jurisdictions, let the federal government do what they're supposed to do, and let state governments do what they're supposed to do. And we also need to educate our children more about the Constitution, because that's just gotten lost over the years. As far as the immigrant housing, that's a whole other story.
Thank you, Mr. Kitchens.
Fix that too.
And you keep the microphone now, because we're going to go on to the next question that you'll have the first opportunity to comment on. This is about homelessness. So homelessness and vagrancy are growing challenges for every community in the state. What can be done at the state level to assist communities in dealing with this issue?
That's a great question, and like Supervisor Rivas with the education question, this is a very, very close issue to me. I have spent the last 32 years of my life right here in District 30 taking care of the most vulnerable people in our society, mentally ill people. Very close to my heart, I still own a 34-bed residential care facility for mentally ill adults. The reason I bring that up is a lot of these homeless folks are mentally ill, and we need to have them in a facility. Doesn't have to be locked up. It's not locked facility, community-based facilities, where they can have meals, where they get their medication, where they see their doctor, where they can have a place to bathe, a clean bed to sleep in every night. We need to encourage more of these types of facilities, because a lot of these folks you will see are mentally ill. Now, Prop 47, that is the low-level crime that people aren't arrested. That's attracting a lot of vagrants from other states to come here, because they can go in and steal stuff up to $850, and it's a misdemeanor. So we've had, and by the way, I just had lunch with Chief Swing yesterday, Morgan Hill Police Chief, and he's telling me the same thing. Same thing with Prop 57. These people get out of prison, they're going straight in the streets because they can't get a job. If you can't get a job, you can't get a place to live. So I want to repeal Prop 57, I want to repeal Prop 47, and I want to get the community care licensing, the unelected bureaucrats up in Sacramento off our backs, so we can start running these care facilities and stop running people out of business for arbitrary, capricious reasons. That would help a lot right there. Out on the edge of Salinas, there's a 40-bed facility for elderly people that is shut down, empty. 40 beds where these people could be for the most arbitrary reason.
Thank you, Mr. Kitchens. If you'll pass the mic to Mr. Rivas, would you like me to read the question again, Mr. Rivas?
So obviously homelessness is a challenging issue. It's a problem throughout the entire state, especially in rural areas. And so what the state can do, I'm at a loss because, other than provide funding, I'm not sure. But I can tell you what, through experience, what we've done. In San Diego County, we've become a regional model for homelessness. But what we did as an elected board of supervisors is it's about collaboration, as I mentioned in my opening statement, or previously, is we worked with the city of Hollister. And we did something about it. We identified the issue of homelessness. And we worked together to solve it. You can't solve homelessness, but you can certainly alleviate the effects of homelessness, the impacts it has on our communities. And so what we did is we leveraged state funding, federal funding, we built a homeless resource center. Not only a homeless shelter. There's three phases to it. It's a shelter that houses 50 men and 50 women. It is also, the second phase is a resource center. We offer wraparound services on site, mental health services, employment services, mental health services, you know, all types of services. The third component is we're going to offer 12 transitional housing units for those that qualify to get people back up on their feet. And we've become a regional model because we proactively did something about it. Aside from the state, I think the one component that has been lost in all of this is the state has a pilot program that we're a part of at San Diego called Whole Person Care. So a lot of these homeless people are assigned, when they come to our center, essentially a case manager that helps manage their situation from health-related issues, from assisted living types of issues, right? Get them back up on their feet. The most challenging part of this homeless debate is a lot of these individuals, because of mental health issues, they don't want help. And so it's getting them to come into our facility to get help. But certainly what we've done that is very different than anywhere else is we've done something about it. It's challenging. Very challenging for you guys.
And you'll keep the microphone for the first comments on our next question. This Rotary Club regularly and generously supplements the public schools in our community. Education funding is always challenging. Please tell us how you will address the gap between current funding for education and the increasing need of school districts for quality teachers and successful students.
Certainly, and you know, the funding for education is only going to get more challenging. Because when you look at the challenges that we face as a state, whether it's the escalating cost of health care, which is this huge pension liability that's hanging over cities, counties, and school districts, all of these things are crowding out our ability to fully and thoroughly fund our schools at all levels, the community college level, university level, K through 12. Funding is a big problem, and so it's going to take a big lift in Sacramento. It's going to take strong leaders, bold leaders, to solve these problems. Closing the achievement gap is very challenging in California, but it can be done. And as I mentioned in the beginning, we prioritize education in this state. We prioritize our fight against climate change, and we have the most aggressive standards when it comes to environmental regulation, when it comes to reducing emissions in this state. We need to do the same for education, because our children depend on it, because our economy depends on it. And so when it comes to funding schools, I hate to use the term fully funding schools. I don't know what that means. There's so many needs in our school system. It's not about just making sure that we have the resources in the classroom. There's so much that goes on in the class, in the school environment. As far as making sure we invest in early childhood education, making sure that we invest in prevention, making sure that we invest in students and in children, so that way they're successful in the classroom. So when you talk about funding schools, it's going to get more challenging. But we really need to do something about this pension liability that's hanging over this state. And the escalating increase in health care, because it's really impacting our ability to fully fund education and to invest in our students.
All right. And Mr. Kitchens, you'll have the opportunity to comment on that question also. Would you like me to read the question again?
No, thank you.
Okay.
As Supervisor Rita says, that is a very complicated issue. And it is going to take somebody very brave to go up there and do something about it. But let's face it, folks. Every time we write a check for the CalPERS, the pensions, we're writing $20 billion worth of checks. I guess every quarter, we're $4 billion short. Okay? So $4 billion deficit every single time. So, I'm not going to get a lot of support from teachers probably for saying this, but CalPERS needs to be renegotiated. Cities are going to have to figure out what to do about that. We can't sustain a $4 billion deficit going to these pensions. Now, they were made promises by Sacramento, but, there's a lot of lobbyists up there, folks. I've been up there twice. So these promises that were made to these people, they're just not sustainable. That's one thing we need to do. And there's been some talk about splitting the property tax rolls, okay? And if you don't know what that means is if in districts where all the commercial buildings split the roll and charge the commercial properties way more in property taxes, and that money all goes to the schools. I'm totally against that, because what it's going to do is it's going to drive up the cost of housing, which is already a big problem. So I say we start by renegotiating CalPERS, and we also make our schools accountable, folks. We have the highest paid teachers in the entire country, and we're almost dead last. And they're not held accountable. I mean, it's almost impossible to fire a teacher. So, accountability.
Thank you, Mr. Kitchens. And at this time, keep the microphone. We are at our time where we have your closing statement. So you now have 2 minutes to make your closing statement and message to Gilroy Rotarians.
My closing, folks, is everybody knows about the top two primary in this state. In 2016, you had two similarly situated Democrats in the top two. And they, not bad people, I'm not attacking them personally or anything, just their policies. This year, you have a choice. You have two very different choices. And personally, I think Supervisor Rivas is a good guy, but I know of him, he seems like a great guy, beautiful family. You can say a lot about me, Supervisor Rivas, but our policies are completely different. We have different approaches. And I'm asking you to make a choice for somebody who has dedicated his life to infrastructure, actually hands-on, homelessness, hands-on, crime. I've reduced recidivism rates among mentally ill offenders, hands-on, for 23 years. I've trained police officers to actually deal with mentally ill persons in crisis. If you look at every single issue, and the last thing I want to talk about is forestry. I've been managing forests since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, and I can tell you we're not managing our forests out here. That's why we're having these ginormous forest fires in the Los Padres National Forest. It's in District 30. And I don't want these fires that create mudslides, animals die, people die, and houses are destroyed, and it's all because of the Sierra Club. If you want to go manage the forest, they'll file a lawsuit on you every time. We don't have that problem where I'm from originally, but I love AD 30, and I'm going to stay here and fight to get our state back, folks. Vote Kitchens, Neil Kitchens. Every time you go in the kitchen, just remember my name, Kitchens. Y'all got one in your house, okay? Thank you very much, and thanks to the Rotary Club for hosting this beautiful event, this beautiful meal.
And Mr. White, Mr. Rivas, you have 2 minutes to make your closing statement.
I certainly want to thank all of you for the invitation. And as I mentioned, my family and I have deep roots here. We're lifelong residents of this region. And as I mentioned, I was raised by family farmers. Taught me never to abandon my roots, to absolutely never forget where I came from. It was my grandfather, again, who encouraged me. Always reminded me that we lived in a special place, a place called California, a place where anything is possible, where an immigrant family could experience upward mobility. I put myself in college, graduate school. As I mentioned, I have 3 jobs. I've had opportunities, but now my wife, Kristen, and I, we're raising our daughter in the same county where I grew up. She's 2.5 years old. And I want my daughter to enjoy the same opportunities I've had, to experience what we all want for our children, a chance to live a better life than we did. And that's what motivates me. That's what drives me. I run for assembly, again, to create opportunity for others, for future generations, and to continue my work as a county supervisor of being a bold leader. A leader who has always put people first, a leader who has always put our community first. I'm proud to be the only candidate in this race, to be supported and endorsed by over 100 elected officials in this assembly district. I've built incredible support across this district because I'm the only candidate that they trust that's going to go to Sacramento and fight for the issues important to this district, to this region, and to represent the values that we all care about. And I assure you, even though I'm a hay baler, I'm going to go to Sacramento and fight for you, all of you. And I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here to listen. I'm going to be here to learn about your issues. I'm going to be here to fight for you in Sacramento, to make sure that this is the best district that we can have in California. And I assure you that at the end of my tenure, This is going to be a better district than it is today. So thank you so much for the opportunity to be here.
Thank you, Mr. Rufus.